As the decades went by, after all, remember, 1948, it's 65 years. You know, it's a long time. And they had so much hope in the late 1960s when the PLO came into being and the Fatah fighters were everywhere. And they, by the way, recruited from those camps. Those camps paid dearly for the revolution and they wanted something in return. And they actually have nothing. They of course, they're angry. And I think it's what this character, the character Abu Iyad, absolutely exposes that in a terribly vivid and haunting way.
Okay, well, let's pause there. Let's go to our next clip where we see snapshots of everyday life in the camp and we see the impact the Football World Cup has on the residents.
Today, Ain al-Hilwi is 64 years old. It's 1 square kilometer in size, with more than 70,000 refugees. People spend their days sitting around and killing time. In a sense, not much has changed in the past 60-odd years. People are still waiting. Except every 4 years, things change. And this is the reason why I'm back. During the World Cup, Ain al-Hilwi is turned upside down. For a whole month, people are no longer stateless refugees. Instead, they become Italians and Germans and Brazilians.
Okay, so we've just seen a glimpse of life in these refugee camps, and it's not easy on a day-to-day basis. You know, there seems to be little hope economically, you know, for their futures. There's lots of camps, not just in Lebanon, there's camps in Jordan. The conditions aren't great there either, but why isn't the international community taking action on this? It's easy to criticise, but they're sitting there with their hands tied, so what's all that about, Gedda?
Well, I mean, this is one of the sources of bitterness for those refugees, that nobody's helping them, quite apart from the failure of, say, Fatah and the PLO. What about the rest of the world? Why have these people been abandoned? Precisely, a very good question. Well, right from the beginning of this dreadful story, from 1948, Israel made it very clear that it would not allow the refugees back, and it has stuck to that all these years. It has been absolutely adamant that it will not allow them home. The sad thing is that the world community, which created Israel and helped it to flourish and thrive, is clearly unable to force Israel to comply with international law.
So what policies are Israel using to deprive these displaced Palestinians and refugees of their, I guess, economic, legal and political rights?
It has no legal leg to stand on, not one. But what it does do is say, well, if they come back, we will stop being a Jewish state. As if that's the problem for the refugees. The last thing that the refugees should care about is what sort of a state Israel wants to be. They have rights under international law of returning to their homeland. The one single thing that stopped it from happening has been Israel's absolute obduracy on this point and the international community's paralysis. And really quite disgraceful, really disgraceful.
But now, you mentioned Israel. Now, as I mentioned in my introduction, the filmmaker got into some hot water, you can say, for saying that Israel cannot exclusively continue as a Jewish state. He wasn't calling for its elimination, but merely saying that under international law, as you mentioned, he wants the right of return for refugees, and the German media outlets call for this award to be taken away from him. I mean, what is that all about? Is there some kind of taboo talking about the right of return?
Yes, of course. I mean, look, what it's about is that the taboo, and certainly for Germans, is that you cannot criticize or threaten or appear to be making some kind of suggestion for change against Israel. They have an incredible guilt complex about the Second World War, the Holocaust. They can't get over it.
Maria, what do you think about the award being called?
I think that's ridiculous, really. I mean, freedom of speech. He didn't call for the elimination of Israel. He just made a point of fact. You know, everyone has a right to their opinion. I think the problem also with Israel is that they have a lot of power with the United States, massive lobby in the States.
Indeed.
And so basically the Americans are too scared of Israel. And so Israel's been allowed to get away with this for so long. But while you have two sides entrenched, and particularly Israel that wants to stick by their guns, then it's very difficult. But if they wanted to come to a solution, both sides could. Basically.
But I think it's just strange that, you know, this for an award to be called back. I mean, we're going to pause there, but we're going to go to our next clip where we see Falafel's grandfather talk about the right of return.
Salim Muhammad Abu Salim. مواليد 1936 صفوري فلسطين توفي يوم الأحد 24/2008
أهلا وسهلا
السلام عليكم
كيف الحال؟
أهلين الله يكرمك ويبارك فيك جدا أهلين
وين ستي؟
على بلاد جوا
My grandmother's biggest wish was to spend her last years close to her children. She tried to convince Granddad to move to Europe, but he always opposed the idea. I guess to him, leaving the camp would mean abandoning his right to return. And in the end, Grandma's wish never came true.
خلينا أصوركم هيك واقفين قبال بعض. يلا يلا بس خليها هيك تطلع أحلى.
تطلع معاه؟
آه تطلع.
بس أنا بتطلع الشيء
بالميلي. آه؟ إيه. أحلى منك ما في. أحلى منك ما في.
كان بشي وحالتي حالي.
Now, the filmmaker did say in an interview, and as we've seen in the clip, that this documentary really for him was about why, after 65 years, is his grandfather not able to return to his homeland? And that goes back to the right of return, Gada.
Absolutely. you know, when Israel evicted the Palestinians from their homeland in between 47 and 49, and they ended up in these camps, which were supposed to be temporary, because everybody believed that there was no way they wouldn't go home. They couldn't believe it. My own family, by the way, is the same. I mean, we left temporarily, which became permanent, and that's what really happened. Now, that belief on the part of the refugees was actually supported by international law and by international humanitarian law. That is, it is your right, anybody's right, to leave their home for whatever reason and to return to it. That is fundamental to human rights. Israel was able to flout that and make sure that it never, never really happened. And it's a big tragedy that after 65 years, there is not only no movement, but something I want to bring up. Very impressed by the timing of this film, because it so happens that Mahmoud Abbas, the Palestinian president, now in negotiations via John Kerry, via the Americans, with the Israelis, supposedly to try and end the conflict, is on record as having met with Israeli young people and reassured them that there would be no right of return. This happened last
week. So life should continue like these for these displaced people? With no economic opportunities, no future. It's like a lost generation, future
Well, you would infer that. Of course, he didn't say that. But what he was reassuring the Israeli youngsters, extraordinary, instead of reassuring these poor people in Ain al-Hilwi camp, reassuring the Israeli youngsters, don't worry, there won't be any nasty refugees coming back. So, the fact that the Palestinian leadership has also given up on making this happen is truly worrying.
Now, in the documentary, Maria, we hear a quote from a former Israeli Prime Minister, David Ben-Gurion, saying that the old will die and the young will forget. How do you forget that you've been displaced?
Well, if you don't have an older generation there to remind you why you were there in the first place, then you would forget.
But we see from the director, there's such a disconnect.
And absolutely, and that's why, and there's been so many films about this situation. And this is what I like about this one, that it's there to remind people that they shouldn't forget. And by talking to young people within the camp, I mean, you see lots of youngsters with guns in there, which was a bit shocking. And for them, it was like fun, And you have one kid holding a gun to the head of another one as he's doing the peace sign. But they won't forget now because they're so angry with what's going on and the fact they're still there so many years, and there's still a lot of the former generation still alive to remind them.
Now, Gedda, they might not forget, but has the international community forgotten them?
No, it hasn't forgotten them, but what it wants to do, it wants to actually resolve this now, not by the right of return. Not by the right of return, but by what they call resettlement and patriation. That is, refugees wherever possible will be given the nationality of the country that their camps are in, and then they become sort of dissolved into the local society. And alternatively, those that can't, for example, Lebanon, which is why this film is so good.
Sadly, that's all we've got time for. Thank you to both my guests and, of course, to all of you at home. If you'd like to get in touch with us, you can do so via Facebook. And for those of you on Twitter, send us your tweets, or alternatively, you can email us your thoughts on today's film review. The details will be on your screens. Thank you for watching, and we'll see you next time.